Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about the identity in Christ and what your identity is and what your identity was, you know, back in the beginning, you know, Adam and Eve, how their identity was and then how they lost it. And we'll go through the details with that. At this time, I'd like to go ahead and say the Lord's Prayer just to get this thing going good and get the Lord, you know, moving in here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou art the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody, I like to, I had a biblical verse. It kind of hit me today. It was Matthew 6. And Matthew 6, 1 through 5, it's talking about, you know, how some of these, how the Pope, this is a little off the subject. I just had to touch in on this. It's how the Pope and some of these churches, you know, they make a big scene and try to show that they're all holy and all this and that. And they're really, you know, they got the biggest pews, they've got the biggest stages and all that, and trying to show what big, how big and holy they are. And even back in Jesus' times, they did the same thing. They wore the robes with the bells on it, and then they jump in front of the wailing wall there in Israel, and they would beg and beg God and all that. And Jesus didn't like that too good. He said, you know, He said, those people will get their rewards, but the rewards is the one that goes to the secret place, goes into their closets and pray. And you know, and he also goes to a point and he says, you know, if one hand is given a dime in the collection plate, don't let the other hand know. So don't really show what you're really doing for the Lord out. I mean, actually really advertise it tremendously, because the Lord already knows. And if you are doing that, you're doing it for show. You ain't really doing it to help somebody for the love of God. You're doing it for yourself. That's basically what it's really getting down to. But anytime you're giving to the poor, anytime you're doing things for the Lord, it don't have to be a big show. And it's just, you know, it's between you and Him. Everything you do in your life for the Lord is between you and Him. It ain't between nobody else. And a lot of people, you know, they really think, you know, the more I show, the more God's going to do. You know, it's got to be a big show. It ain't that. It's what you're meaning from your heart when you're doing it. What you mean, like I've always said, Jesus is a heart man. Whatever you're doing from your heart, He knows that. The Lord knows what you're doing from your heart. If you're not doing from your heart, it don't mean much to Him. It has to be from your heart and your love towards Him and towards other people. When you're showing your love towards other people, you're showing the love of Christ. And that's just a little something I was going to touch in on right quick. It kind of popped in my mind today, and I just want to shoot that out here. But I'm going to go ahead and jump right into our topic tonight, your identity in Christ. Robert, how do you think about the identity in Christ?
Well, according to Scripture, we need to focus on, as Christians, is what Father originally established when He created mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, Father created His Son, and He spoke a blessing over His Son. He declared over His Son that He had dominion over everything that He had created, all the works of His hands. Mankind was given dominion over them. The physical earth was given to man to rule over and to reign as a co-regent, or even an equal to the Father, in the sense that Father, our Creator, He is heavenly, He is spirit, and those of us here in the earth, His sons, are physical sons of God, given the very same ability, power, and authority to rule and reign as our Father. We know this. He said this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28, where He said, "And God blessed them." That word "blessed them" means He spoke over His Son an empowerment to succeed as His Son. The word "blessed" means empowered to succeed. So when Father created Adam, He made him in His own image and likeness. He gave him divine authority in this physical earth to rule and to reign as the Son of God, lording over all things that Father Himself created. So that's where our identity begins. And one of the things that I'd like to point out concerning identity is, within our identity is the nature of our Father. The nature of our Father is revealed within our identity. What did Paul write, Galatians chapter 5? He said, the works of the flesh are these, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control, the nine fruits of the Spirit. That is the true nature of our Father. Father created his Son. He gave his Son his nature. He gave his Son the ability to speak his language, to talk like he talks. I like to call it kingdom language. He gave his Son ability to lord, dominion over everything. So Adam, the Son of God, was given Father's nature, and Adam was given a power and authority, and that is his identity. He was created God in the earth. It is written in John chapter 10, verse 35, Jesus was having a little bout with the Pharisees and the scribes, and they were trying to put him down for saying that he was the Son of God, putting him down for even insinuating that he had a relationship with Almighty God. And Jesus tells them in John chapter 10, verse 35, is it not written in your law that he called you God? And when you look that up, the word God there is a capital G. When you look that up and break that word down, it means just what it says, the capital G. We are created in our Father's image, given divine authority and power to rule and reign in this earth as his sons, co-regents, partnership with our Father. And that is our identity. That was how he created us. That's how he designed and desires for us to live. And that is his plan. It says in his word that he created us for his pleasure. Well, you know what he takes pleasure in? That's seeing his life revealed through our lives. When you and I speak his language, when you and I imitate, mimic, and do the things that we see our Father do, it pleases his heart. It overwhelms the Father to see what he has taught his child being carried out in their lives. And that is what Adam was commissioned and commanded to do. Father told him in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, that he was supposed to dress and keep the garden. It was his ministry to walk around and allow the Garden of Eden, so to speak, to manifest everywhere he went, because the kingdom of heaven was working in his life. The Garden of Eden was manifesting everywhere the boy went. He was linked up with his Father, and he had power and authority, the same power and authority that we see demonstrated by Jesus the Messiah. So our true identity lies in the very beginning when Father created mankind. What did he do? He created us just like himself, but in a physical form. Even the angels, even the angels want to know, why have you created man and crowned him with your glory and given him dominion over the works of your hands? It is written in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, that very statement. An angel asked Father, who is man that you are mindful of him, that you would give him dominion over the works of your hands and crown him with glory? Father created us for a grand purpose, and we'll get into that a little bit more here in just a little bit. So our true identity, it lies in the original creation. Amen?
Amen. It's amazing how the Father already had everything already lined up and already set up and already saw how the blueprints was set out before anything really started. Even the angels was kind of jealous of all the abilities that God was going to give us. And what's so crazy is to me is that Jesus walked in these abilities, and right now the church has just gave them up.
They're scared.
They just give them up, and then when you actually show people that when you're working in these abilities, you're showing that you're a adopted son of God. You have jumped back in the son part of God, and you're showing them what they could do if they would just give their lives to Christ. And you're showing them what they can do. And I'll tell you something, man. Right when I did that one healing there at work, man, everybody told me, they was like, you must really believe. I was like,
yeah.
And then all the other Christians don't. I said, what's wrong here? I'm just the only one that don't. I'm the only one that believes. It's not the belief. Even Satan believes in God and all that. I mean, that has nothing to do with it. It has to be with the relationship. The relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Your relationship with Christ. Your relationship with God, your worship, your communication with the Lord, all that has to do with what is manifesting, like in Eden, like you was talking about. In Eden, they had a relationship with the Lord every day. They walked with Him every day.
That's right.
And when they walked, they walked and talked with Him every day. And there's people at this time right now that does that. They have built a relationship with God, that they have this relationship with Him. But I'm gonna tell you one thing: it's not easy. That I mean, with our sinful form that we have in us since the fall, you've got to know who God is and who the enemy is. You've got to spread them apart, know who's who. You've got to work with that. But once you find who the corporate is and you kick him out and you know exactly who you know God's speaking to you, then you can go somewhere. You'll be led. You'll be led down the right path. You'll start seeing doors open. But you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to know this. And I'm not talking about going to church once a Sunday and then going back to work and cussing and swearing and doing your thing going back. That ain't no relationship. Relationship is every day, every night, speaking to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you've got to go on the street corner and throw your Bible at people. I'm not saying that. If you want to do that, that's cool too. But, you know, it's not. A lot of people think, you know, when they think about relationship, they think that you've got to be over to it. Well, to really walk in the pool, you do got to be kind of over to it, but you don't have to go crazy with it. What I'm trying to say is, go ahead.
I was going to say there that what happens is when you're totally committed, when you're sold out, your sold-out attitude will cause the Word of God to consume you to the point that the blessing of the Lord manifests in your life. And it says in Scripture, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 10, it says that the people of the earth are going to be able to look at you, and they're going to stand in awe at you, because of the blessing manifesting in your life. It's going to demonstrate that you have a relationship with the Lord. The blessing come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, it says that we, the Gentile, through Christ Jesus, have received the blessing of Abraham. Well, in Deuteronomy 28, chapter 28 verses 1 through 14 is a list of the blessing of Abraham. And it literally says that the people of the world will be afraid of you, but the word afraid there means that they will stand in awe, like we stand in awe when we see the Lord's works, when we see His glory manifested. They will stand in awe as you love God and love people the way Father loves them. It will cause them to stand in awe at the manifestation of His glory in your life. The same glory that Adam was clothed in, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and then till the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Adam was clothed in the glory. Adam was blessed by the Father, and the blessing that Father spoke over his son manifested in his life daily. Everywhere he went, everything he touched, it produced abundant life. And that is where Adam failed in chapter 3. He allowed himself to be swindled, or I like to use the word hoodwinked, out of his identity. He was a son, the Son of God, and he was hoodwinked into thinking that he was less than who he really was. He allowed himself to be deceived into thinking that there was something missing from his life. Father had given him power and dominion over everything. So Lucifer, who desired to have the same authority that Father had given to his human son, found a way to swindle it out from him. It says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12, that Lucifer fell from heaven, and he said in his heart, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will sit in the sides of the north of the congregation. I will do. He had a will, and his will was to try to dethrone Almighty God and make himself God above our Father who created all things. Well, that nature that Lucifer demonstrated is the fallen nature that was locked up in the tree that Adam was commanded to not eat of. When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam unleashed the nature of sin, the nature of sickness, disease, poverty, and lack, death. All those things were locked away in that tree. When he doubted that he was Son of God and that he had something missing and that Father was holding back on him and he did what he was asked not to do, then the enemy stole his authority right then, right there. The Son of God's authority in the physical realm was taken away from him. And the nature of the flesh, which is the tendency to do that which is contrary to the will of God, was unleashed upon all mankind. And that nature, it dominated mankind. For 4,000 years, mankind could do nothing about it. No amount of good you did could save you. No amount of bad you did. It wasn't based on you. It was based on your relationship with your Father.
Yeah, Robert, the Lord just put something on my mind. See, what I was doing earlier, I was trying to teach my daughter how to ride a bike. And first thing how I learned with my first daughter was you had to put it in their mind first. You had to let them see themselves riding that bike down the road and them enjoying themselves. Okay.
Yes.
Once you put that thing in their mind and you push them and say, just think about what you're doing in your mind and just take off. And some children they take off with what they were seeing. They saw themselves enjoying riding the bike and sunny days. And then some of them take off and some of them won't. But what stops them from riding that bike is them falling back and forth. It's kind of like what happened to Adam there. See, when he was walking with the Lord, he was happy. He saw himself happy, you know, walking in the sonship of God. He was seeing everything. And then when the devil came and put that doubt in his head, everybody thinks that Genesis talk about, you know, just told him that it was naked and this, and that was the end of it. It wasn't that. It wasn't about the nakedness and all that. It was about the doubt that he infected their mind. Now,
that's
just
right.
Think of some, the doubt was infected their mind, then it blew the whole thing out because then they doubted everything they did, and then all the power they had left.
That's
doubt
right.
destroyed their whole everything. They doubted that God was God loving or... They doubted everything, so that's what destroyed their whole thing. A lot of people don't really realize that. a little bit of doubt can destroy you.
Yes, that's right. That's right, Stan. And that's what happened to them. He allowed doubt, unbelief into his heart, into his life. And that very moment that he did that thing, it brought division between he and the Father. That was the thing that divided them. And when he was divided from him, what Father had told him over in Genesis chapter 2, if he ate from that tree, he would surely die. The spirit of Adam died that day. The Holy Ghost that clothed him in righteousness departed from him, and he became a spiritual dead man. And because of his sin, because of his transgression, all have come short of the glory of God. Nobody could be born into the earth the way Father originally planned and created for man to be produced. He gave Adam the command to create sons of God, go be fruitful and multiply. And if Adam had obeyed the word of the Lord, the word of his Father, if Adam had listened to the voice of his Father and not the voice of a stranger, then Adam would have subdued the enemy, and he would have taken his authority and dominion over the enemy, and he could have continued to live in the garden, producing children, sons of God, as he was created to do. So what happened is Adam gave in to the deception of the enemy, handed him our authority as sons of God. And then Father promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he would send one who would crush the head of the enemy, a seed born of the woman. And it was the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ through Mary, his mother, that 4,000 years later, that word came to pass. He was successful in putting a new son on the earth, and that new son, when he fulfilled his ministry, restored our true identity and the nature that our Father originally planned and ordained for all humanity to live by. You and I and every other person on the face of the earth today has the ability to walk as Christ the Messiah walked, victorious in everything that we do, victorious, full of power and authority. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says that he was given power in heaven and in earth. And then he commands us to go out and go demonstrate that power and authority that was restored unto us through our accepting Father's gift of salvation. Jesus is the gift of salvation. He is our deliverer. He is our redeemer. He is the restorer of the breach that took place in the Garden of Eden when Adam laid down his true identity as Son of God and he became lesser God, idol God. That's what Satan deceived him into. He deceived him into accepting less than, living substandard than what Father had planned and ordained for mankind to live by. And Jesus, our Lord God Almighty, has completely restored this ability to us today. And we who come to Christ have to get to the place where we see ourselves by faith already seated in heavenly places with him. He is the head and we are the body. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have to get to the place where we already imagine and envision, like he just said about your daughter riding the bike. You have to get to the place where you already imagine and envision yourself in him and he in you, one with him, completely cleansed, made holy, righteous, accepted unto God because you received his gift. There's only one gift that cleans us. There's only one gift that saves us. There's only one gift that restores us. And we have to get to the place where we are already hooked into him, knowing that there is no dominion of sin over us any longer. He broke the dominion of sin. He broke the dominion of sickness, disease, poverty, and lack. He broke the curse that came upon man through Adam's disobedience. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. And after we get this and we embed that in our hearts, it gives us the power and the authority to walk above this substandard form of living, which is contrary to the will of our Father for our lives. And it gives us the power to walk in our true identity as sons of God, compelled and driven by the love that He shed abroad in our hearts by His Spirit through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus, He gave us the ability to house the Holy Spirit once again so that we can be what Father created us to be in the beginning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One thing I like to say is, you know, if you're already a Christian, one thing I like to ask you, are you sitting on the sidelines or are you on that bike? Are you riding as a son and daughter of God? Are you walking in what you was created for? What are you doing? Are you walking what you're created for, or are you sitting on the sidelines throwing a rock? It's up to you. What are you doing? Do you want to walk in that power? Do you want to walk in the shoes of Jesus? Do you want to go and heal the sick? Do you want to speak the words of the Lord? It's up to you. It's up to you. It's there for you. The problem we have to this, I mean, this day that I'm saying that it's fixing to disappear. God, Jesus is going to pick up His church. His church is going to be reacted as it was back in the book of Acts. You're going to start seeing some churches, people getting healed, hospitals going to go broke.
Amen.
These big pharmaceuticals going broke. Because all the Christians is healing all the sick people. God has touched the ground. People is, you know, walking in glory. People is laughing. Poverty, madness, all that's gone. Because the glory of God is hitting the earth through His people. And that's one thing that I'm seeing that's going to, you know, that the first, or I'll say the last revival is going to come through and touch everybody. And that's one of the biggest things I see is going to touch the earth. But like I said, what are you want to do? Are you want to sit on the sidelines, or do you want to walk the walk and talk the talk? It's up to you, because Christ already did that for you. He's already did all this for you, and if you accepted Him, you're set up beside Him. You're a king through Him. You're a king of. You're a king. You're kinged. You're crowned through Him.
Amen.
You are. You just got to own it. You've got to grasp it. You've got to understand what you are. That's
Amen.
Your identity in Christ. You're a son. You're a son. A son of the Most High. You're a daughter of the Most High. I'm not saying you're the only God and the only daughter of God. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you are God. I'm saying you are a son. You are a daughter. And you got to walk like one. You got to talk like one. You got to put in your mind, how would Jesus walk? I mean, when you're walking to work, how would Jesus do this? You know, what would He do? I mean, if I was Jesus' sister, if you're a lady, if I'm Jesus' sister, what would I be doing? Would I be cursing and chasing guys, or would I be, you know, trying to bless people and heal people and love on people? What would you do? I mean, what would Jesus' sister do? What would Jesus do when you're walking in His shoes? And I guarantee you, if you fall in love with the Lord and you follow that, you'll see miracles happen. You'll see the Holy Spirit reacting through you. You'll see all types of things. Just walking in the shoes of Christ, seeing yourself walking in the shoes of Christ. And that's one thing. Are you sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, you know, going to church every Sunday and just going with the motions and eating the cheese and drinking the free coffee and going home, or are you actually walking in the shoes of Jesus? And I'm going to tell you one thing. None of this works until you've accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit has fully entered into you. That's what turns everything on. The Holy Spirit turns everything on. It turns everything on. You got to, You got to have the Holy Spirit. If you walked in there because you sit in church, that don't mean anything. You've got to accept Christ. He turns everything on. A lot of people think, well, I go to church every Sunday. You know, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You're just you just get entertained. A Christian is when it's accepted Christ. It has communication with Christ. It's spending time with Christ, and Christ is living in their heart. They have fully accepted Christ with their heart. Like I say, if you speak with your mouth and you believe in your heart, I come and I live within you. It doesn't say if you come and sit in church, I'll come and live within you. It doesn't say that.
No.
That's what a lot of people, they change the biblical verses around a little bit in their minds. Well, if I come and sit in church in the front pew drinking my coffee, I'm already in there. No, that don't work. That's why we run into a lot of Christians that's wondering. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. They're like, why am I reading the Bible when nothing's is happening to me? Why ain't, you know, my children getting transformed in this church? Why ain't the Holy Spirit going in this church? Because nobody's accepted. Nobody's had the Holy Spirit to come within them. Because they're not teaching that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not teaching that, is that Bible? No, it's not.
No.
It's not. That's the question.
Do I have time to read something, Stan?
Yeah, we got 23 minutes. We're going to get ready to go to break here in a minute.
Okay. All right, this is called Transformation. I wrote this 2 years ago, Divine Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Upon acceptance of Jesus our Lord, the old nature loses its dominion over us. The old nature that was compelled to do what is contrary to the will of God for our lives is no longer controlling us. We, now being a new creature in Christ Jesus, are no longer married to the old nature. In our transformation, we are freed from the law of marriage to the first husband and are free to marry another. Just because we are dead with Christ, we have this ability. The old nature isn't dead. It still wants you to come lay in marriage with it. But after accepting Jesus, this will be committing adultery. We who are in Christ are now married to God. And we now have a new husband in the transformation. Now let's look at what has been actually transformed. When we accept Jesus, we are given a new nature, and it is compelled to do that which is pleasing to our Father. This transformation also produced in us the complete image of the Son of God. This transformation makes us righteous and holy from the inside out. This change takes place in our spirit and will only reflect on the outside if we renew our minds. By faith, we must accept the gift of grace and truth and diligently seek the heart of God. We must accept the promises and the blessing of our Father, which is heaven. A relationship must be built around the revelation of Jesus in our lives. We must desire to please our Father by trusting His Word over all things. In doing so, we will see the glory of God revealed through our lives as our new nature transforms us from the inside out. The blessing will be seen. Amen.
Amen. We're getting ready to go right into a song that's called The King and Queens. That's what you are. You're the King and Queens in Christ. We'll be right back. amen, kings and queens. That's what everyone of you are. Yeah, that song is on the WOW Top 20, 2014. You can pick it up in Walmart, any Walmart close to you or any Christian store. And it's a pretty good CD. Your identity in Christ, it's a great big subject. A lot of people's talking about it. A lot of churches avoid it because they don't really want you to know a whole lot about it because you might start asking too many questions. Ain't that right, Robert?
Yeah. Most people don't know how to answer the question. Religion has infiltrated the earth, and religion is contrary to the will of God. Religion is man's attempt to restore in his own ability what was lost in the garden. And man cannot fix the breach himself. Jeremiah said that it's not within man to direct his own steps. And he was so true in saying, man cannot fix the problems. Everywhere you look in the earth today where man is trying to fix the problems, it's only getting worse. Only where the glory of the Lord is being revealed through his servants, through his sons and daughters, are things getting fixed. So people have avoided the issue of really digging deep and trying to find out what the missing link, what's missing from my life that's keeping me from walking in the fullness of the revelation of who I am in Christ. And you know, one of the things mm-hmm. that is hindering us the most, Stan, is the inability to have the mind that is in Christ Jesus. We don't think. We're told by religious people that we can't be like Jesus, that you can't act like Jesus, you can't talk like Jesus, you can't walk like Jesus. Satan's using religion to keep God's people from doing and being who he created them to be. And that is where we have got to stop allowing that to happen in our own lives. Each individual person has to build a personal relationship with your Creator, with your Heavenly Father. And the only way you can get to him is to come through the Son. You have to come through Jesus to get to the Father. And when you come through Jesus, he has empowered each and every person who accepts him to be able to access Father's presence, Father's Spirit. We can call him Daddy because Jesus
Amen.
Has cleansed us, made us righteous, holy, and accepted. We are accepted
and
in the Beloved.
And the way that you come through Jesus is through his Holy Spirit. His Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit is what leads you and gives you that connection. Without the Holy Spirit, you have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, when Jesus walked ground, when he walked this earth, he was walking in full form with the Holy Spirit filled within him. Okay.
Yes.
Now if you don't have this, like we know, when he died, and he was rose again, he went to heaven to be up there with his Father. He had to pour out for us. That was his connection. He was already up there. He poured it out for us. Now, this is what they walked in all the time anyway, back in Genesis. The thing of it is, you have to have that Holy Spirit. And if you're not walking in that Holy Spirit and he's not walking in you and being that communication between you and God, you know, it's not that much going on with you. That's why you got to have Christ. He died for your sins. He died to be able to do what he did, to pour the Holy Spirit out to you. If he didn't die, he wouldn't have been able to do that. If he didn't die and then came back where he can go to his Father, he couldn't pour it out. We'd be in trouble. If he would have died, he would never rose. That Holy Spirit wouldn't have been able to been, you know, given to anybody. Nobody.
Uh-huh.
Nobody would have been able to get that. So when he
That's
died
right.
and he rose again, when he rose again, he went up with his Father and he was able to pour that out for us. See, that's one of the big things people don't really look at. We've got to have that Holy Spirit to help turn everything on to get everything going, and that's what gets you walking in your true form, what you truly are. And
yes,
that's one thing. You know, everybody's got to get their identity on. You know, when you're walking
yes.
in the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, it leads you. That's what they did back in Genesis, man. The Holy Spirit walked. I mean, they already had him in them. It was already there.
That's right.
But once you doubt him.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, there is some Christian that is saved that does have the Holy Spirit, but they forgot about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I spoke in tongues back in 1950, but, hell, I don't know much about him anymore. You know?
Yeah. It's like they misplaced their wallet with all the money in it.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, you know what you just said, Stan? What you just said coincides with Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him, talking about in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. When we accept Christ Jesus, when we accept him, we too become the fullness of the Godhead bodily after we accept the Holy Spirit. It completes the package. Father, the Creator, Son, you and I, Jesus, you and I, we are the sons, and then he clothed us in his Spirit. That's the full package. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what he's trying to get us back to. He's trying to take us back to the beginning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He's still trying to fulfill the same plan, the same blessing that he spoke over Adam in Genesis chapter 1. It's the same blessing he spoke over Abraham. It's the same blessing that comes upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. So he's
Amen.
Just trying to restore us to the original condition and status, our original identity. And we must renew our minds in order to be able to walk in the fullness of this, to have the power and the authority manifesting through our lives as Father desires it do. Because it is what the world is able to look at and see that the glory of the Lord is in them. This person has a relationship with the one true living God. They see that blessing manifesting through us, and it is producing Eden everywhere we go because we are linked to him, one as one. Jesus said, I am one with the Father, and the Father is one with me, that we are one with him. We have to see that. We have to identify and immerse ourselves in that. Let it become real to you that you are one with Christ. That is the will of God. That is the plan of God for us to be one with him. If you look over in Genesis chapter 11, Stan, the Tower of Babel happened. And Father said that those people had one language, they had one thought, they were one, and nothing was impossible to them. Anything they imagined, they were capable of doing. Well, if you look at that, take that and flip it from a physical natural and look at it spiritually. Jesus and Father were one. There was no division between them. Jesus said what he heard his Father say. Jesus did what he saw his Father do. The same thing that Adam had the capacity to do, Jesus did. The example that Jesus lived before all humanity is to show us our true identity. Our true identity is to duplicate what we see him do. It is the Father within who does that work through us. He manifests his glory. He manifests the kingdom of heaven from within us. We are changed from the inside out by the renewing of our minds. We find ourselves able to walk in this reality that Father established. It's not man-made. Father established this. He made the way. He redeemed mankind. He became flesh and dwelt among us to restore us back to himself, the ministry of reconciliation. He did it all for us because he loves us and he wants nothing but the best for his children. He wants nothing but the best, and the only way we can experience the best is to think like he thinks.
Amen.
And like he acts. Hallelujah. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
At this time, I'll tell everybody we're going to have a Saturday show. It's going to be at 10 a.m. We're going to have Ron Anderson. He's a representation of the Power and Love Ministries. It's going to be coming in Wilmington November the 19th. Todd White and a bunch of other speakers are going to be there. They're going to be teaching street ministry. They're going to be showing you how to work in the power of God. They're going to teach you biblically where we're supposed to look, like we're talking about here, walking as kings and queens of God. That's what you're going to be walking in, being sons and daughters of God too. So that's what we're going to be talking about there too. And like I said, it's going to be we're going to be talking to him. This Saturday is going to be at 10 a.m. You know, don't miss this. He's going to be telling you all about the program. It's like a 3 or 4 day course. So, you're going to be fully enriched in the power of God. You're going to be soaking in the Word of God. And you can't go wrong when you're going through stuff like that. And when you get done with the course, they're expecting you to go out and hit the streets and build the kingdom. They want you to go out and build the kingdom. That's what they expect. But just listen to it Saturday. I do have the link to take you right to the website. You can learn more about it there too. And I just want to see North Carolina really get, have people on the streets and winning people for Christ, man, because that's what it's all about. And I think there's a lot of things going on now where, the people – In our community, they just don't really, really, really know about Jesus tremendously. I mean, they know bits and pieces and this and that, but, they don't know the full story. They don't know the power of God. They don't know anything like that. And I think, little workshops and things like this really help open people's eyes, puts people on the street doing what the disciples did, I'll say, 2,000 years ago. So, it's really important to do things like that. But, yeah, we will have this on the show Saturday at 10 a.m. And I would like to tell everybody, if you are on Facebook, look up the Healing Light show on Facebook. Like the show and just, let us know what you think about the show. If you got a prayer, please, leave a prayer request on there. If you've had a healing from the show, we didn't get to do a whole lot of healings tonight because we've been here preaching about the identity, and it's kind of took quite a bit of our time tonight. But normally we have times where people can call in and pray for you, and like I said, we always expect to see something happen. There is a few times where we've had some times when there's been some demonic cases that we had that there's a lot more that need to be done that we couldn't do on air, and a lot of times we try to get our numbers to them where we can follow up and work with them more, because there's some things that's going on with people that's demonic, and it's a stronghold on them, and it takes a lot more time than you can do on a show. But most of the times, the normal prayers, they happen pretty quick. But, there is a few cases, and we have ran into a few cases like that from time to time. But, you want your healing, you'll get it. And Christ always wants you healed. He ain't no halfway or not today or you did something wrong. He expects you to get your healing because he paid for that healing. He took stripes against his back for that healing. So what he paid for, he deserves what he paid for. And that's the way I stick to it. He deserves what he paid for. He deserves your healing because he paid for your healing. His stripes paid for your healing, so you deserve to get healed, and you will.
Mm-hmm.
But amen. And another thing, just go to Blog Talk, and if you're listening to us on Blog Talk, which I know you are, just go ahead and follow. You know, let's have some followers, and that way, if you're on Blog Talk and you're following the show, it will let you know when we have new shows. The Healing Light page will let you know when we have shows, because I'll post the new shows on there, and some of the old shows on there too. And I do tell people, if you're on Blog Talk, look in our archives, and you can listen to any show you want to. If you feel pulled to one show, listen to it, and it might have a connection to you. And when we're praying for somebody on the show, you may get touched too. I've had that to happen on videos. I've had that to happen on shows. I've had relatives listen to this thing and get saved. So, you know, just listen to any show you feel pulled to. So, Robert, it's good having you on the show again tonight.
My pleasure.
My pleasure, too. And, yeah, Robert's a regular. He's a co-host for the Wednesday night show. And he works with me, and we sit back and we talk about what we're going to talk about. We both share ideas and stuff. And Robert kind of had an idea, and we both had different ones. And the Lord said, well, we want to do this one. So this is the one we stuck with. And, you know, and it turned out pretty good. And the Lord really got his word across to people tonight, and I hope it touched each and every one of y'all, and I hope it, you know, lets you understand some things about your identity and how things work. But that's Amen. All I've got to say. We've got to say for tonight, and I want to say God bless every one of y'all, and keep your nose in the word. You know, pray to God. Keep that communication with the Lord. We'll see you Saturday, and God bless every one of y'all.
Amen.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young. But Lord above, I need a miracle.